If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
Artists should have always been able to tap into, but I think the sort of big shift today is the trend of needing to actually know who your fans are. You know, I think that is one of the biggest challenges for artists in the music industry is, how do I actually know who my fans are? You know, how do I contact them?
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. You can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. All right. I'm excited to be here today with my new friend, Daniel Sanders. So Daniel is the chief commercial officer at Feature FM, which is the driving the development of tools that enhance artist fan engagement and streamline music marketing efforts. He introduced features like Future Save to help automate and optimize the release process for artists. And I mean, that's such a game changer. I know it's so important for artists to be able to, you know, get pre-saves and help promote their releases. And so that idea that Feature FM introduced of, you know, being able to save once and then have it auto-save all of your future releases is a game changer. He's an advocate for independent artists, collaborating with platforms like Bandcamp to increase revenue opportunities and help support sustainable careers for artists. So Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on the podcast today and looking forward to connecting a little bit more about the future of music marketing and what you're building with Feature FM.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to having a good conversation as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I know right before we hopped on here in the kind of in the green room, we were talking about the fact that we're both new parents. So you had like a 2-year-old. And so we're talking about like the future of music marketing. I really kind of think about like what kind of world are our kids going to grow up in, and what are we, you know, creating here in terms of like the seeds that we're planting that they're going to reap. So looking forward to hearing your perspective on, you know, how we can create a win-win-win, you know, around the board. And to start with, would love to hear a little bit more about your story in terms of how you found yourself becoming the chief commercial officer at Feature FM.
Yeah, sure. So I've been at Feature FM for about 10 years now. I've been here since the beginning, since just before the founding team was launching the first product, launching the company. My story really starts in music, at least. I am more of a hobbyist musician. I would consider myself more of a songwriter. I've been playing all my life, songwriting all my life. Never tried to do it professionally. Not something that I ever, you know, seriously went into, but definitely a hobbyist. I'm always down to jam with anybody. I started my career professionally, actually, in the finance world and banking. I was at one of the big banks. At the time, I was focused on helping large corporate multinational companies in their banking efforts. I was really much more on the cash flows and liquidity side. I quickly realized early on that was not for me. That was not ultimately the path that I wanted to be on. I wanted to do something more creative, something that I was more passionate about. So I was young enough at the time that I could take a risk of just simply quitting and making it my full-time job to find something that I would have more passion in. So just through those efforts, I was introduced to the team that was building the early version of Feature FM, said, why don't I start working with you guys, see where I can help. And now I've been there ever since.
Awesome. Cool. I would love to hear just like from your perspective, like just in case someone's not super familiar with Feature FM and they are wondering what the platform's for, kind of like the mission that you're out to serve. Can you talk a little bit about the biggest problem that Feature FM helps to solve?
Yeah, in terms of the biggest problem, you know, I think it's the same challenge that there's ever been, which is artists spend countless hours creating the music, writing the music, recording the music, putting together everything creative around the album, or you know, visual creations, everything that's going around the music. But once they are essentially releasing it with the world and ready to release it with the world, there's the question of how do I promote it and actually build a fan base? And, you know, even more so today, related to that is how do I even know who my fans are? I think our mission as a company, what we sort of state our mission is to help artists turn their passion into a successful business, with business being the key word. And the way in which we do that, where we view our role in it, is to help artists connect their fans to really every aspect of their business, because artists are doing more today than ever before, and the avenues in which they might surround themselves as, you know, as an artist and as a business is greater than ever before.
Awesome. Man, I feel like that mission or that like heart is my life as well for the past 8 years of modern musicians. So I love that you've built this tool around that, that core. And, I'd love to hear your perspective as like, I think you probably bring a pretty unique perspective in terms of the music industry from your background, you know, in like finance. And it sounds like you had sort of a, you know, experience where it's like, okay, like you learn some of these tools and you realize like, oh, this isn't really where my heart's at or my passion. But also I'm, you know, imagining that a lot of those, tools and what you learned is actually extremely valuable for the music industry as a whole. So I'm curious to hear your perspective on, you know, maybe like some unique insights or things that you, have noticed that seem obvious to you just because of your background, but maybe aren't super clear or obvious to artists at first.
So, you know, I think that, first you're exactly right. I think that, you know, even if you're doing something that you're not super passionate about, you can always learn something. So, you know, what I found is that at least for our business, so, you know, it's interesting. I always take the mindset of like I have a business mind. So I'm always taking the mindset of comparing how we're building our business to the same way that artists can build their business, right? So I think that like the first thing to take into account for artists is really just, you know, how do you establish yourself just professionally as a business, right? Like, what does that actually mean? And I think the first thing is to look at maybe incorporating yourself as a business. So doing something like starting an LLC, making sure that you have the right template agreements in place, you know, making sure that you actually are, you know, going about things the right way. I think another thing that artists might tend to look at, especially in like the DIY culture, is that when you're talking about DIY, it doesn't mean you literally have to do it all yourself. You know, if you are growing any business, you know, sort of the founding team is starting to build something. Maybe you have a team of two people, three people. So you have to kind of find those co-founders on your journey, right? Who are the people that are going to sort of help you build, and what are their, you know, what are their respective roles in it? You know, if you're kind of like a creative director of the business, you know, who is the CEO, who's the business manager, who's the marketing director, who's kind of the back office financial and accounting stuff, you know, who's on the legal team. And as you grow, you kind of find that you're doing a lot of these different things yourself. You know, maybe you are wearing many hats, but as you grow, you can kind of fill in the roles and fill in the needs to help you get to the next level.
Awesome. Yeah. So it sounds like what you're saying is that one really important thing is just from like a structure standpoint, making sure that you have something like the legal components figured out, and also thinking about your team and how you structure it as a business and hiring some key roles early on as sort of like co-founders. I'm curious what you think in terms of if an artist is listening or watching this right now and they're kind of they feel like they need help and they feel like they need a team, but they're not really sure where to start, or they're kind of wondering like, who's my first team member, the very first thing that I should start in terms of expanding this, so it's not just me alone with my music, but I have like, you know, one person. Do you have any advice or thoughts around what that role might be and how they might go about finding that person?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think, you know, not to have a definitive answer, but it could be different depending on the artist situation. I think that, like, if we're talking about, you know, what's the solution to like the biggest challenge, you know, that artists have, which is the, you know, the marketing and promotion, getting their stuff out there. So kind of the first thing is, you know, it's a mindset, right, of how you look at yourself as a business in the industry. And, you know, if we're talking about building a team, it's like, when you're kind of building yourself, you know, you're the artist, you're the creative director, and you are creating the music, you have the creative vision, but you probably have some other skills. Like maybe you do have skills in digital marketing, which today largely encompasses content creation, which is also creative, but maybe you have kind of those skill sets around like CRM and fan base management, email communications. Like we see tons of artists today that have skill sets around using retargeting data appropriately and running conversion campaigns and all of that stuff. So, you know, if you're skilled there, you know, maybe you need somebody who is, you know, going to go out and like advocate for you, get you live shows, get you bookings. So maybe you like really need a booking agent to make sure, you know, you're out there actually performing. If you're not skilled in those areas, I would highly suggest to find somebody who can help you in digital marketing, help you in content creation, because it is so important today. You know, maybe you, you know, are looking for more of like a finance manager. Maybe you are, you know, getting yourself to a place that you are able to launch different online businesses and your storefront, and now you need somebody to kind of help manage all the revenue streams. So, you know, I think it really depends on what the artist's skill sets are and then filling in the gaps that they might not have.
Awesome. So it sounds like what you're saying is that it kind of depends on the situation and where the greatest needs are. And so, I mean, it might be a little bit hard, almost like a fish in water, where it's like, there's water around here, like to have perspective on like kind of filling in their gaps. So I'm curious, how does an artist kind of do that self-analysis and kind of figure out for themselves how they can fill in that gap with that first person?
Write it down. I mean, you know, kind of putting together what you actually want your, you know, you have to write down what your goals are. You know, what are you trying to achieve? What is your vision for yourself as an artist? Like, what is the point that you want to get to? And then breaking it down into smaller steps. So, you know, it sounds like homework, but I think it's a very important exercise to actually be able to put down what's the plan and put out a vision. And when you put it down, you can say, all right, these are the things I need to achieve. This is what I can do. What do I need to accomplish that I cannot do? And that'll help uncover sort of those gaps that you might want to fill in.
That's super smart. And I feel like it's one of those things that is almost like common knowledge, but not necessarily common practice, but is like so important, is starting with the end in mind, you know, kind of setting that down, getting into writing, maybe kind of like, if you're trying to go somewhere, like go on a trip, but without a map, like you have no way to get there, or GPS. And if you don't know where you're trying to get to, like anywhere is going to get you there. Was it Alice in Wonderland that has that quote about going in any direction, it will get you there if you don't know where you're trying to get to. Awesome. So maybe we can zoom out a little bit and look at the future of where things are headed. You know, we talked a little bit about just kind of the state of fan communities and, you know, knowing who your fans are, building relationships. I'm curious, from your perspective, where do you think that the shift is happening right now? And if an artist is listening to this right now and they want to, you know, kind of swim along with the wave that's cresting so they can get that momentum and shoot forward, what are some of the things that you would recommend that they start, that they're aware of and that they're kind of swimming along with?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a big buzzword today is super fans. You know, everyone's talking about the super fans, but super fans have always been there. I think it's something that, you know, artists should have always been able to tap into. But I think the sort of big shift today is the trend of needing to actually know who your fans are. You know, I think that is one of the biggest challenges for artists in the music industry is, how do I actually know who my fans are? You know, how do I contact them? And in a lot of ways, this information was always like managed through intermediaries. So like the record stores would know who their customers are, the streaming service know who their customers are, and the tour promoters would then, if you have like a merch fulfillment partner. So it was always sort of kept at arm's length in a very weird way. But artists now and managers, you know, they understand the need to actually control and manage who their actual fans are, and not just know who they are, but understand their behaviors. And there's a lot more products and tools that are CRM focused, that are fan collection focused. You know, I can plug Feature FM, obviously us being one of them, but you know, there's a number of tools that artists sort of work with in conjunction that help them manage their fan base, communicate with their fans, send them the right offers at the right time. And it, you know, it does go back to this notion that, you know, today more than ever, artists are doing more than they ever did, and they are everywhere all at once. They're on more platforms. They are doing more than just the, you know, traditional sort of revenue streams that you see in music. They are maybe branching out into new things. And when it comes to all of these new things that artists are doing and being on all of these platforms, you need somewhere to actually point the fans to. You know, where are the fans actually going to then engage with you or to get to whatever area of your business you want to promote today? Because maybe today you want them to listen to your album. Tomorrow you want them to go watch your new video, to buy a concert ticket, to visit your merch store, to join a contest, you know, whatever it is that you're doing. So I think that, you know, owning those relationships, collecting fan contact info, rewarding your biggest fans in unique and creative ways, you know, these are kind of the trends that artists should be focusing on and thinking about.
Mm, that's so good. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely mind blowing to me. I mean, probably you'd know this better than most people, just how important it is with an online business to like own your list and be able to communicate with them, and having like a CRM integration, and the fact that like most artists or most of the music business like doesn't necessarily have that. It's kind of wild. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest music platform in the world, like artists don't know who their fans are. They can't connect with them or build a relationship or send them a message, is like wildly out of balance. I'd love to hear a little bit more about Feature FM in terms of, as a tool, what are some of the things that, you found artists finding most valuable on the platform? And maybe you can share like some sneak peeks about what's around the corner that you're personally most excited about around the edge.
Yeah. I mean, the problems that we talked about today, it's essentially, that is what we're working on. You know, we're working on exactly these problems. I think from both a product perspective, with the goal for our product to actually support artists as they build their businesses and careers, but also from more of a just like guidance and educational perspective around a number of different topics on the artist journey. And these could be things not related specifically to how our product helps, but you know, we, you know, even launched a new series called FFM Academy with the idea that, you know, each episode will be like a unique individual with a different expertise in the music industry. So like episode one is the lawyer, we're going to do a publicist, you know, syncing, music director, you know, even the DIY artist. So, you know, the idea is to help educate artists around that as well. Again, goes back to artists doing more than they ever did before. So beyond music, touring, merch, they're creating content, building communities, opening new business lines. So, you know, our focus in terms of Feature FM development is, how do we support artists and their ability to just get their fans to all of these different places, as well as even facilitating purchases, transactions. You know, I think we've been using this kind of term even for like the value that we want to deliver to artists is, how do we become a revenue center and not a cost center? So something that is actually driving value and actual revenue to help artists build their businesses, you know, rather than something that is like, sort of like an expense in the line items, right? So essentially this is kind of what we're focusing on. I think we're going to be looking at adding and improving more capabilities around, you know, artists being able to continue to communicate with their fans. So like basically today, you know, what our customers use us for is sort of like, we are the destination that you are sending your fans to through like all of your promotional channels. So, you know, if you are sharing your content or sharing posts online, on social media, in emails, even if you're getting written about, if you're, you know, have a viral moment and suddenly you're, you know, you're blowing up on TikTok, you know, you need a place to say, hey, fans, you know, this is how you can connect with me. This is where you can go. And generally, they're using us to, you know, create those different landing pages and experiences to send the fans there, collect the fan contact info, and then sort of understand who your audience is, maybe send the data to your different retargeting programs. So we have like an initial use case already where artists are able to automatically send like release reminders and things like that. So I think that this is something that artists see a lot of value in and is definitely an area that, you know, we're going to be looking at in terms of how to actually improve now those parts of our product where artists can now stay connected to their fan base, better communicate with them, you know, make sure they're always able to get the proper message to the right fan at the right time.
Mm. Sweet. Yeah, so it sounds like what you're saying is right now you've built some amazing tools around helping artists to collect the fan data and actually own it. And now you'd like to focus on helping nurture the relationship between the artist and the fan and turning it. I love how we put it in terms of turning it into like a revenue generating asset. And it's not a cost center, but it's a revenue center. One thing that I'm sure you've come across a lot as well, and I'd love to hear your perspective on, especially considering your background, is in music, in particular for artists, there's maybe a little bit of like a stigma. I don't know if that's the right word, but there's sort of a fear around making money with their music, or there's mixed feelings because like, as artists, we want to make money, like as like humans and as artists, as businesses, like we know, like we want to. And sometimes I think artists, we feel like guilty about wanting to make money, or feel like we don't want to be seen as wanting to make money, or that it's going to kind of tarnish our reputation. There is the valid concern of like quote unquote selling out and focusing too much on it. So I'd just love to hear your perspective on, in terms of mindset for artists as it relates to their business and like the value of revenue generation and how they should be thinking about their business and their relationship with money so that they can provide more value to their community.
Yeah, I get it. Look, you know, everybody has to make a living. And if you want to be a professional artist, it just, you have to make enough money to live. You know, you can decide how far you want to go with like, do you want to be a huge business? Do you want to be a more altruistic business? Do you want to, you know, what is the philosophy that you have? So every artist can be authentic to what matters to them. But what they can't ignore is that if you want to be a full-time artist, you have to at least make enough money to live. And I think that, you know, in terms of how you need to get there, it's like, yeah, you have to be able to monetize your art. You have to be able to monetize, you know, your journey in some way. It doesn't mean do it in an inauthentic way. It doesn't mean that you have to focus on like, what is the maximum amount of money I can make? How do I build a huge business with all these different revenue streams? It's not what you need to do. It's, you know, up to the artist, you know, how they want to achieve that goal. And I think what we see is even just like an explosion of, you know, this burgeoning, even like middle class of artists, if you will, where like not everybody has to be a Taylor Swift billionaire. You know, you can make a living off your, you know, off your music where, you know, you have a career in it. This is what you're doing and you are able to sustain yourself based off of your music. So, you know, that's how I would look at it. You know, it's really, you know, up to the individual artist to define what their goals are and how they want to go about making that living.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a great answer. So it sounds like what you're saying is that ultimately, you know, making money is just sort of like a necessity if you want to have a career as a musician. And so you don't necessarily have to be like Taylor Swift or be a billionaire, but there is a middle class that's like opening up, and a large part because of tools like Feature FM to be able to help, you know, artists that don't have the backing of a major record label to be able to actually have a real business. And so it's something that when they're doing their goal setting, maybe they can kind of reflect on and see, you know, what do I need to get to in order to feel good and to be able to have that freedom. Hmm. Cool. So zooming out a little bit, right now, obviously there's like some major revolutions happening in terms of like the technological world with AI. Music plus AI is a bit controversial. We're still figuring stuff out in terms of copyright. What does this new tool mean for creatives? Are we going to be replaced, etc.? Love to hear your perspective on this as a tool. And do you think that AI is like all the previous revolutions in that it's like, ultimately, it's just a tool that's going to help artists, you just do what they do? Or do you think that there's actually something that's a little bit more existential about this particular form of digital intelligence?
Yeah, I think one of the quotes you see going around the internet that I really like is like, I want AI to do the dishes and the laundry so that I can create and make art rather than the AI make the art so that I have time to do the dishes and the laundry, which I get. And, I think as humans, you obviously want to be creative, especially in the creative industry, for artists, for myself as well. In terms of an existential threat, I'm not so sure. I think there's always still going to be a need for human artists to want to go out and create the art and songwrite. I think very largely, AI is also a tool, to help you get there faster, depending on how you use it. I do think that it is, it's not a fad AI. I think we definitely see it as a revolutionary technology that is going to be here for the long term, for sure. I think in terms of the way that we are looking at it, it's more, we're looking at the sort of utility of AI more along the lines of like where it fits into the value that we're looking, that we're offering to artists, which is around using it almost as like, like a marketing assistant or a coach, in order to kind of help you in the tasks that we're looking to help artists achieve in building their career and getting their music out there and promoting and creating content, and actually like sharing their music and connecting with their fans. So like we very much look at it as a tool in helping artists to kind of build their business and all of the areas that AI can help fill in around that. When it comes to the whole conversation around, copyright and training and ownership, that is something that, I think is, a little bit more advanced than for me to give a proper educated comment on right now, because I know that there are a lot of healthy debates happening around it. So I'll leave it at that as it relates to the copyright side of things. But we also see, there's definitely a lot of what I would call AI anxiety, AI fear, where we're still in a process of even just truly understanding what all of the implications and ramifications will be. People feel a bit left out in terms of fully wrapping their heads around, like, how should I be using it? How can I be using it? If I'm not using it already, am I behind? But I think everybody's in that same boat right now. So, I think that, all of those answers will happen as the technology progresses and as you see developments both in the technology, how it's regulated, what, legislators actually do as it relates to the copyright and IP. So, more to come there.
Mm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm in a similar boat where I'm glad that there's people who are smarter than I am who are like trying to answer that particular question right now. One question for you, especially related to your background in finance. Obviously, for many artists, one of the limiting constraints is funding. And when they're just getting started, they might not have a lot of initial resources or funding to put into things like recording or things like marketing and promotion and ads. Curious if you think there's an opportunity, like what would you recommend for an artist who maybe is starting out? And let's just imagine that they're like a gem. Like they actually have like some like amazing music and they have a great product that people are going to kind of really resonate with. They have a good personality. They're willing to connect with their fans and build like the relationships the right way. And their biggest constraint really is just like capital. What would your recommendation for them to be to like get things started?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, I want to first comment on something that you just said that was, that I think struck with me just in terms of like, the artist has good music, they have great music, like assuming all of that is true. So, in terms of like actually building the fan base that is going to support your career and be able to, financially help you grow, you know, it is true, like assuming that your music and your content, like I don't like to use the word is good because I think good is so subjective in music, but assuming that your music and your content will resonate with at least some size of an audience, right? You know, I think you can first start with like finding all of the channels to share it with the world that, you know, are free, right? So like, this is where, you know, even though artists say they don't want to be content creators, like these are free channels. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to buy ads. So it's like, these are places you can at least start to share things with the world. You have a chance of it, you know, quote unquote, going viral. You have an ability to reach a lot of fans with it and to actually find them. So, you know, this gives you at least like a great first free channel into getting your music out there and finding the audience that will resonate with your sound and with what you are doing as an artist. In terms of more of like the core like upfront costs that it takes just to get there. So you mentioned recording costs, studio costs, you probably have equipment. You know, it's a tough answer. If you're starting from like literally zero, you know, you have to get a bit scrappy. I think even with like, you know, in the startup world, you know, there's companies that go and raise tons of money, but then you need to get to a place that you have something presentable, and you're usually doing that in a bit of a scrappy way. So maybe you're collaborating, maybe you're finding friends, maybe you're using your network and just like finding ways to get it done, you know, with little to no funding, until you get to a point that maybe you have something to show. And this is where you can go out and see, okay, what are my different funding options? You know, I think there's more options today than, you know, than there were back in the day where like you really, it was like 360 record deal where I sell my soul or not. I think today there's a lot more options. You can find an investor, you can find a business partner, you can go to different funding tools, right? So I know like BeatBread's the one that comes to mind. I think you already have to have some level of streams though to go to some of those, you know, those sort of like advanced level type of options. But, you know, you can find a label partner that's more indie friendly, that is more doing like a 50-50 co-ownership, you get your masters back type of deal. So, you know, seek and you shall find, you know, is kind of the answer. You have to just get started, do what you can from a, you know, to be a bit scrappy. And then, you know, seek and find sort of what the right funding options are to help get you to the next level.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah, there's that. What's the quote? Yeah, when the student's ready, the mentor will appear. So similar to like, you know, seek and you will find. And it sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, there are free channels that people can get started on. And so that's probably where to start. You know, if they feel like the constraint is money, well, great. You know, use the free channels that you have to put your music, start sharpening the saw. And when the time is right, then you might start considering some of the different tools that are available in terms of capital, you know, funds to be able to pull from. That's interesting. This is actually very new territory to me. So that's part of why I asked you, because I think you probably have better like understanding of it. But that's really interesting, kind of understanding these different options that artists actually kind of have, whether they have like an established catalog that already has proven like revenue coming in, or they're just starting out. Is like a traditional business loan an option, or like credit card? I mean, I know when I started Modern Musician, like I was just off, you know, touring for full time 10 years, just bought a house, and I was about to have a kid. I was like, I didn't have any money to invest, but I basically put it on like a personal credit card, which was stressful. But also like, I probably wouldn't be here right now if I hadn't kind of made some of those big investments. What are your thoughts on getting a loan, like a business type of loan for an artist?
Yeah, it's not uncommon to dip into the credit and liquidity that you might have already available to you. If you're talking like personal credit cards, it's a bit more of a risk because now you have like a personal debt that, you know, you're putting into your business. But, you know, people will bet on themselves, especially when it's like, hey, like, this is the funding that I have. There's a reason that founders of companies are initially putting their own capital into that business, because that's what it's taking to get it off the ground. So, you know, credit cards probably not the most ideal. If you could go the route of getting a loan, you're probably going to get better, you know, better terms, better rates if you are taking that loan out against like an actual company, like an LLC that you incorporated. Then, you know, you're kind of protecting personal assets for yourself. If, you know, if you are going to have issues in the future, then, you know, they can't come after like your personal assets. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's an option if you need to go that route. I would try to avoid dipping into like personal debt to get there. Obviously, if you have like, you know, money in the bank that you're able to then invest in, you know, in yourself, that's a different story because that's actual cash. But if you're talking the debt route, probably trying to do a business loan is going to be, you know, a better option for you than like dipping into personal credit cards.
Totally makes sense. Yeah, I can speak from experience with like me doing that. It was like one of the most stressful years of my life, kind of getting it off the ground. And
totally.
If I had a little bit more grounding in terms of like understanding my options, maybe I would have tried to go for more of like a business type of loan rather than, you know, starting with credit. But okay, cool. So this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate you hopping on here and talking a little bit about the fundamentals of what's important for an artist to focus on and what's the kind of the new wave of going deeper into those fundamentals and using the tools that are available to them. Also some interesting territory that we entered around like finances and helping artists, you know, be resourceful. Could you share for anyone that's watching this or that's interested in learning more about Feature FM and signing up for an account, like how does that work and what's like the best way for them to get started and experience like a quick win using the platform?
Yeah. I mean, first, just to connect with us and start using the platform, anybody can sign up. So, you know, we're open to everybody from, you know, artists to managers, labels, up to kind of, you know, enterprise companies. But anybody can sign up for their own Feature FM account, start playing with the product, start a free trial, you know, start getting support from us. And, you know, that's also the best way to just stay up to date on what we're building, you know, new features, any sort of resources that we might share. You can also follow us on our socials. We expect our YouTube channel is probably going to get a bit more active now that we are rolling out our FFM Academy series. So you'll start seeing kind of more expert guests on that as well. And then, of course, you know, across all of our socials where we'll be looking to share, you know, more content just around the business, around those resources, and around what we're doing.
Awesome. Well, like always, we'll put the links in the show notes for easy access. And Dan, it's been a lot of fun having you on the podcast. Thank you again for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was great.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning into this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable. And if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.